Welcome, beautiful soul, to the Weaving the Wild podcast. In this space, we are reclaiming and remembering the wildish wisdom and knowledge that lies deep within our bones and reconnecting to those parts of ourselves that are both ancient and familiar. We talk about it all, awakening our collective wildness and dropping back into our bodies, honoring our cyclical rhythms, connecting to our roots, embracing our intuitive nature, and living embodied within the feminine. I'm Rachel Hodgins, and I'm honored to be walking this path beside you. Let's dive in. Hello, beautiful beings. How are you? How are you? It's been some time. I know it has been quite a bit, actually. I think maybe 2 months. I think the last episode that I shared was back in May. And I'm recording this on the 1st of August. So things have happened. Things have been shifting and moving, gestating, creating, changing in my world. And I'm gonna bet probably in your world too. It's been a pretty intense time, hey. Oh, but I really wanted to drop back in here. I wanted to connect with you. I wanted to tell you a little bit about where I've been and what I've been working on. And I wanted to talk to you about the month that is to come, the month of August, and all of the beautiful energies that are weaving within us and around us during the month of August. So first things first, where have I been? Where have I been? Oh, I have been creating. I've been in the throes of gestation and creation, my loves. I felt a really clear message to draw back from the podcast back in May. It wasn't even anything specific, to be honest. I just didn't do it. And about a week or two later, it became really clear why. And I'm really glad I just didn't even question. I just followed, you know, because it didn't take long for that answer to become clear as to why that is. And what I've been working on since then has really required a lot of time, which is, you know, this podcast itself can really soak up time. A podcast is a time hungry thing. So there was kind of just a divinely intuited decision. Somebody's running a drill in my street, if you can hear that. But more than anything, this thing that I've been working on has required a lot of presence and love, I would say. And what's more, I knew that I would require a lot of presence and love to pull it off. Even I've never taken on something this big, and I mean that on many, many levels. So if you've been following me elsewhere, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll know I haven't disappeared. I've been quite active still over there this whole time. It's just really this podcast, which is a labor of love and does require time and effort and kind of creative energy as well, that needed to be set aside for a little bit so that this new thing could come through. But let me just tell you what it is, because I'm so excited to share it with you. And then we'll dive into the juicy energy of this month. So, I held a vision of a deep remembering and transferal of knowledge. It was like a gathering of wisdom that comes not just kind of from one or even a handful of kind of just select coaches or people online, but instead I saw a rich and vast array of wisdom holders, of people who hold the keys, who live and embody the keys of feminine wisdom. I held a vision of this kind of coming together of wisdom that really truly reflected the depth and the breadth of what we call feminine wisdom, that it didn't just kind of weave one path, like one topic, but that it gathered the threads across all paths to weave a really true reflection of the tapestry that is feminine wisdom. And I imagined what it would feel like to have all of this knowledge, all this wisdom and wisdom holders in one place, right there at your fingertips. They're ready to meet you by the fire, so to speak, when you are ready. And so the Wild Woman Trove was conceived. And I say conceived because it's not quite officially birthed yet. That's coming very, very soon. But all this time, I have been busy gathering the wise women, the wisdom holders, the women who I see as truly embodied experts. And when I say expert, by that I mean they are embodied in their wisdom. They have lived and integrated their own experience so that it has become their medicine. You know, like when they speak, it is wisdom medicine that comes out. And this is where I've been. I've been gathering the quote unquote experts, so to speak, and weaving together a treasure trove of feminine wisdom. It is the gift of what you deserve. It's a trove of pure gold and gems and pearls that you were always meant to have. This belonged to you from birth. And under the fiery Leo new moon, it will become available for you to reach out and claim. The Wild Woman Trove is huge. I've had to break it up into six different categories. So we have body and female physiology. We've got menstrual cycle awareness, which covers both like the physical hormonal aspect as well as our energetic aspects. We have feminine business. We have earth connection and cosmic wisdom. We've got sacred birth and motherhood. And then we have the feminine mysteries. And there are over 45 women speaking across all of these topics. We go so deep and so incredibly rich, and because we have such a vast and diverse group, a gathering of women and wisdom holders speaking across these six kind of core categories, we cover, like, it feels like we cover it all. Like, there is, as I said, there is breadth as well as depth here. And these are not your average masterclasses. These are intimate conversations. They truly are the sharing of wisdom and knowledge, not just information. And I'll be sharing more about this soon, about the Trove, but I just wanted you to know about it. I wanted to come in here and share it with you. I wanted to let you taste it, you know, and get ready, because it will be launching in just a couple of weeks as I record this on August 16th. And if you're anything like me, I like to be prepared. You know, I don't tend to kind of just make snap decisions. It feels so much better when I've already kind of felt a full-bodied yes. I know that this is something that I desire and that I want to say yes to, and then I get to invest or buy something. So I'm just going to tell you, you know, the Trove will be $111 US, and it will be available for a week as of August the 16th. So breathe in, you know, feel in to the energy and the essence that is kind of churning and waiting within the Wild Woman Trove. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll have likely kind of seen me share about this, and you'll already have kind of a taste for who you will find inside the Trove. So feel free, go over there and find the highlight for the Trove to see more about that. I am going to be sharing more about that in a different episode around who's involved and everything, because honestly, oh my goodness, my mind just blows every single time I look at the conversations, like the topics that we are exploring and diving into, but also the lineup. My mind blows every time I see the lineup like the names and the women who are gathering here, let alone, you know, my inbox. You know, my mouth is hitting the floor every day when I see myself conversing with these people, these incredible women. So, get excited. This is where I've been. I have been gathering the wise women for you, my love. And I'm so excited, so close to being ready to invite you into this precious, precious space, this delicious trove. Oh, okay. Let's talk about August. So I really wanted to jump back in here onto the podcast and just connect with you because I know that since there's kind of been radio silence here, I've had some of you reaching out just like, "Hi, I was just wondering if the episodes and the moon episodes will be returning at any point." And I love you all so much, and thank you for everyone who has reached out. There's two things here that I just want to say. First off, if you love the moon episodes, jump inside the membership. Even when I'm radio silence here, you will find all of that energy each month inside the membership. So that's kind of your best bet to be able to connect with it. But I do miss being here, and I do miss being able to record and share and chat with you around this. So feeling in, I just really wanted to be present here again. And I also know I just don't at this point in time have the opportunity to record multiple moon episodes this month specifically. And I say multiple because we've got an extra one. We would be recording three different moon episodes this month if that were the case. But seeing as I'm still in the process of creating and birthing and then soon to be launching the Trove, I thought maybe it could be nice to jump in here and just share everything that I'm feeling into and everything that I really foresee within this month in one hit, to feel into the month of August as a whole, and I suppose look at what energies are really feeding into it, because I often find it's really helpful to be able to see, you know, these moons and planets and seasonal shifts in context, kind of next to one another. They do tell a story. They lead us forward when we see them within context. And who knows, you know, maybe this format, you know, a monthly energy readings basically will really work moving forward. We'll just see. But right from the off, I feel like we need to just kind of acknowledge the fact that we have not one but two full moons this month. And I think this is really kind of setting the tone. The fact that we are kind of welcomed into August, ushered into August by this full moon in Aquarius right off the bat to set the tone. And then we close the month with a second full moon, also known as a blue moon, in the sign of Pisces. We have the opportunity for some kind of true alchemic release this month. And I think that's important to kind of breathe into. For me, it feels like both a clearing and at the same time an awakening, like an activation that happens within the clearing. It's like a purification almost, sort of energy. So let's just talk about this for a little moment. I want to talk about these moons and how they speak to one another. So another point to kind of just add within context here is that both of these full moons are super moons. So we have a super full moon in Aquarius on the 2nd or 3rd of August, depending on where you are in the world. 2 weeks later, we will have our beautiful fiery Leo new moon. And then 2 weeks following that, we will have our Pisces super full moon, and as I said, also known as a blue moon. And a blue moon, if you're not aware, is the term that we use for the somewhat rare instance when we have a second full moon within the calendar month. This tends to happen a little bit more often in some parts of the world than others, depending on like dates. So here in Australia, for example, a blue moon tends to be less frequent again than, say, if you're in America, because if, say, you're in the States and you have a full moon on the last day of that month, say it's the 31st of July, that, depending on the time of day, could be the 1st of August for us here in Australia. So it wouldn't technically kind of count, if that makes sense, as a blue moon, but for the most part, energetically speaking, blue moons are fairly rare. They don't tend to happen all the time. And when they do happen, and in this instance, our Pisces blue moon will be on the 31st of August. I almost forgot the month then. It will be on the 31st for us. So all of us are experiencing this blue moon. All of us are experiencing a double whammy of full moon energy, super full moon energy. And so the current is strong here, my friends. Breathe it in and you feel it. I also want to add that when we say a supermoon, that's referring to the fact that the moon herself is much closer to the earth at this particular time. And so we see her much bigger in the sky. She looks extra large and golden and beautiful. And her energies are felt even more keenly. They're kind of more amplified because she is closer to us. So a super full moon is always that little bit more of a heightened full moon energy. And we have a super full moon in Aquarius right from the start of this month, which is really kind of asking us to feel into and really look at the energy that we hold and emit. The question that comes through for me around this Aquarius full moon is, are you contributing what it is you wish to see? Aquarius is very much kind of concerned with the collective and with our systems and structures, but it really does represent the collective. But the trick here, the wisdom that Aquarius teaches, is this understanding, this underlying awareness that the collective is made up by the individual. So we as individual beings are constantly being fed by the collective consciousness, that is to say, by the society and the energy that makes up our world. We're informed by, you know, different ethics and different kind of social structures and things like that. We're also fed by the energy and awareness of the collective at any particular time. So this becomes especially kind of obvious when, for example, there's a natural disaster, or even during the whole kind of COVID, you know, crisis, where the energy rises and the herd, the energy of the pack, basically becomes heightened and tense and aware. If you picture like a herd of wild, I don't know, animals. If you picture even just like a herd of cattle, right? They might all be kind of grazing, and then maybe one of them hears something, or they sense movement or sense something kind of skirting the perimeters, and one looks up and there's a particular energy. It doesn't necessarily make a sound, but the energy that it holds, one of like awareness, slight concern, it ripples through the rest of the herd and they will all look up. Right? They'll all look up and they'll be looking about, because there's just like an energetic awareness that is feeding through all of them as a collective, instigated by one individual, right? So this is kind of like the energy that I really see with Aquarius, is that we are fed by the collective, but we are also feeding the collective. And this full moon is really asking us if we are clear on what it is we wish to see in the world, if we're clear on the world we wish to be in. And once we're clear on that, to actually really kind of look within and say, well, am I contributing that? Am I showing up as that energy, right? And this is really where Leo energy comes into play, because Leo provides the answer to this. If we're looking at like, what is the world I wish to be in? What is the world I wish to see around me? And how can I, as an individual, participate in creating this, in bringing this into form? And Leo answers this by ensuring that we are so deeply connected and remaining so true to our heart. So when we feel into these kind of two energies, we have Aquarius, which is the collective, and Leo, which is the self. And they seem so contradictory, right? Or they seem so polar opposite. Leo wants it all to be about itself. It is kind of, you know, very easily about the ego. But the true essence of Leo is when we step from ego into heart. And when we understand that, when we step into our heart, that becomes our offering to the collective, that informs the collective, that shifts and vibrates the collective at a different level, right? So there's so much to say about this full moon in Aquarius, but that's really the kind of energy and essence that I really feel coming up, is truly kind of witnessing what are the thoughts and the paradigms that you are kind of stuck or blocked in. Where have you felt kind of caged in and unable to go beyond? Because Aquarius is an air sign. It's all about the thoughts and the thinking mind. And in particular, its energy really kind of speaks to the thought narratives and patterns that we have absorbed from the world around us, from the collective, so to speak. And the invitation this particular moon is to witness which thoughts and which narratives hold the energy of like a brick wall, like there's no give, essentially, because these are likely that the patterns and the narratives that Aquarius is kind of riling against. Aquarius believes in change and in evolution. Everything here is meant to evolve. And if there is a thought or a belief system or a structure, or even we see this, you know, very Aquarian in like our social structures, our systems of governance and all sorts of different things, right? Where there's no room for change. There's no room for kind of evolution and growth. We're told that this is how they are. It has to be upheld. And when there's no room for movement or change or growth, that's when things overstay their welcome, right? It's not necessarily that it was always wrong. It's not necessarily that it was always evil. And it's not necessarily that it never, you know, served a purpose. It's just that we as people, we as humanity, life in general is meant to move and evolve. And yeah, that's something that's really coming up personally, I think, as well as like collectively, is really witnessing where you in your world, in your life, have been coming up against things that feel like they just are like hard, solid truths, basically, or beliefs and sort of narratives in your life. And if they're starting to feel kind of stuck or constrictive, or like they just don't have a lot of room for other truth, basically, that might be your invitation to look deeper. It might bring up some fear and discomfort, but this is again where Leo, the sun being in Leo, is really shining and inviting you to drop into your heart, step out of the fear, step out of all of the thoughts and the stories and the indoctrinated truths that have been placed within your brain, and drop into the truth that lives in your heart. Which brings us to the Leo new moon. And really, this is like this particular new moon is the culmination of already having spent a few weeks in Leo season, right? The sun is in Leo already as we enter August. And Leo energy has been quite present within other kind of planetary movements as well. So we're not coming into this new moon unfamiliar with this energy, but I do think that this particular new moon will be especially activating. I think there's nothing like a Leo new moon, honestly, to bring up. It has a particular flair, it has a particular energy of life, of just saying yes to you, to your life, to your essence. And Leo under a new moon really asks to be brave. It asks you to be vulnerable, which takes an incredible amount of bravery. And it asks you to be vulnerable in order to be seen, in order to reveal yourself, to reveal your joy. I think this world's really quite obsessed with suffering, with what's wrong. And Leo is just the complete counter energy of that. Leo asks us to flaunt our joy, right? To let our joy be seen, because happy people are medicine. We need more people living in their joy. We need more people living with their light expressing and rippling out and radiating out into the world, right? So I feel like this particular new moon is really kind of inviting you to feel into the sense or the belief that your joy in this world is your offering to this world. And what does it mean for you to be connected to and embodying your joy? What does that look like? What would that mean? What would it take for you to drop into what brings you joy and then let yourself be seen in that joy? Leo is all about expression. The way I really kind of love to see Leo energy is that in the wheel of the zodiac, we've kind of moved through these first four signs. So we've got Aries as the initiator, like this kind of drive and will with purpose. And then we have Taurus, which lands us in the physical realm. And then we have Gemini to kind of observe and like gather different thoughts and perspectives and information so that we can start to understand the world on an intellectual level. And then we have Cancer, which really connects us into our emotional level and allows us to kind of piece all of this together and create a sense of belonging and home, basically. And once we've kind of moved through this, this is like the first step of like anchoring into self, of you know, the first kind of part or process of the journey of self-actualization, right? So we move through these kind of first four energies and signs, and then we reach Leo, and Leo kind of marks the kind of pivotal point, you might say, where we've learned who we are kind of inside on this internal level, and now we're ready to step forth and express that, to reveal that truth to the world. So Leo, this is why I really resonate with the affirmation of I am, like Leo's mantra being I am, because it's like this stepping forth, you know, straight back and feet firmly planted and just declares, I am. I know who I am. This is me. Hello world, basically. This is the energy that we're really being invited into, and the energy that we're especially being invited to cultivate and practice under this Leo new moon in this fertile dark void. And then 2 weeks after that, we shift into, well, we've shifted into Virgo season, and we then experience our Pisces full moon, Pisces super full moon. And really, Pisces full moon, oof. It's a sensitive time. It can feel like it can be quite a kind of overwhelming time, in the sense that things may feel like they just dissolve, like they just wash into nothing. So the theme really under a Pisces full moon is the dissolving of attachment. Pisces asks us and teaches us how to trust and how to surrender. And in particular, this dissolving is of anything we've attached to that is essentially temporary in nature, which is most things in our life. We hold so much kind of emphasis that we start to identify with certain things in our lives that actually, it doesn't serve us to identify or to attach so strongly or solely upon these things. So I'm talking here around things like, you know, certain relationships with other people, or maybe it's our career. Maybe we identify so deeply with our career. Maybe we identify with a certain place or home, you know, our house, or maybe there's a certain aspect or element in your life that you feel is so important and essential for you that you can't imagine it not existing. Pisces has this kind of uncanny knack of taking something that you thought was so sturdy and so solid in your life and in your world, and then just seeing it dissolve, like it's there between you, like just disappearing between your fingers. And the more you try to grip and grasp at it, the faster it disappears. So I say this not to frighten Right? Not to like be like Pisces, you bastard. But there's a reason within this. It's this non-attachment that Pisces teaches us, different to detachment, where we detach and kind of like disconnect entirely from something. But the practice of non-attachment is understanding that we aren't really that, right? Or this, you know, this isn't really me. So under this particular Pisces blue moon, super full moon, you may notice that certain elements or aspects of who you thought you were or very like real tangible elements in your life are kind of just dissolving. I recommend not trying to fight it or grasp tighter, but instead open to the question of what becomes open and available without this? What becomes open and available to me when this is clear? You may not know the answer to that. You don't need to, just for the record. And not knowing the answer, that might cause more fear again, right? Because it's the fear of the unknown. It's like, well, if I don't have this security of this relationship or this job or this, you know, piece of myself that I thought was so like part of me forever, who am I then? What am I then? What will I do without this? I need this. I need this. I need this for whatever reason, right? And this is the medicine of Pisces, right? It's not necessarily that like you don't need or deserve a particular relationship or to have a thriving career, but it's likely coming up more because of the amount of attachment that you hold to this particular thing. That's the message. That's the kind of medicine and the invitation to feel into. So much of the medicine of this particular Pisces full moon is really around surrender to what is happening, surrender to what is, surrendering your attachments, your expectations, your sense of need, and surrendering into trust. A question to feel into this particular moon at the end of this month is, where are you blocking the flow? If the flow is already on it, doing its thing, how are you fighting or resisting it? So those are our moons, right? So again, feeling into that, we have some really kind of obvious release work to do around, you know, it's literally the Aquarius full moon is setting the tone right from the off as we enter into August. We're moving through Leo season, the Leo new moon. We're shedding masks. We're shedding all the ways that we hide our full vibrant selves in an effort to step up and into our heart and into our truth, because that is our medicine and that's what we're here to offer the world. And then closing this month with this really powerful Pisces full moon. This is also quite a transitional month. You know, August, we start the month with Imbolc and Lammas, depending on where you are in the world. So these are seasonal shifts, part of the Celtic pagan wheel of the year. And Imbolc marks the early onset of spring. It's this kind of transitionary energy that occurs halfway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. So it's like the energy just gently starts to rise. We're not in spring yet fully, but spring is springing, right? So the days are just noticeably getting longer. Maybe we feel that little bit more warmth in the air, and more than anything, we can sense something stirring. It's life, you know, life starting to stir. The birds are just starting to be a little bit more chirpy, and there's a few more around. The buds are starting to appear on certain plants and certain trees. You know, maybe there's bulbs that come up in your garden around this time of year that you're witnessing. And just in general, you know, for me, I've been really experiencing like this sense that like we're coming out of a slumber. And that's really what the earth feels like. It's like, I'm not fully awake. I'm not fully, you know, jumping about yet, but I'm starting to rise out of bed, essentially. This is this kind of transitional energy, bringing us out, helping us ascend out of the darkness of winter. This is here in the southern hemisphere, and if you're in the north, you'll be experiencing Lammas or Lunasaur, which is the opposing energy kind of in the wheel of the year to Imbolc, and it's the mark of the end of summer. It's Lammas is the first harvest festival. It's still summer, right? It's still warm, the days are still long, but there's a shift in energy. It's no longer the same kind of rampant life force kind of sexual energy that's there during kind of Beltane and summer solstice, where it's like everything is kind of in union and forging life and bursting forth. It's now like everything is grown, the plants are bearing fruit, there is much to harvest, and yet there's also this kind of laziness that starts to settle, a certain slowing down. And that slowing down is what comes when we have this kind of transition from like rising energy into like this slow decrease in energy. So as of this time in the northern hemisphere, as summer is starting to come to an end, slowly, slowly, the darkness returns. The days grow that little bit shorter, you know, and the outward energy, like I said, that life, sex energy is kind of turning back inward once more. I really find that Imbolc and Lammas are transitional moments, right? Because they're marking a shift in direction that's going to become more and more noticeable throughout the month as we kind of celebrate these and feel into these days right at the start of August. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like you might see, you know, people sharing the traditional date of around like the first or the second of August. And sure, for certain, you know, like Imbolc also associated with St. Bridget's Day and things like that. So certainly like we can have specific dates, but I really feel especially for these kind of cross-quarter days within the wheel of the year, they're kind of like a stretched out energy. So I also feel like something like Lammas was most likely kind of celebrated possibly even like as a week long or days long festival, because it's a harvest festival, harvesting the grain. So don't feel like if you are listening to this episode kind of like a week later or something like that and you're like, oh damn, I missed it. I think you can totally still connect to these energies and really kind of observe them in your own life, in the world around you, and you can feel into these in whatever way feels true for you. If you're interested in kind of learning more about Imbolc and or Lammas or Lunasaur is another name, I have created two really beautiful guides within the Cosmic Weavings membership this month that dive into both of these kind of earthly seasonal festivals and rites. So each guide includes kind of like the origins and the kind of ancient roots, the kind of spiritual inner kind of energetic practice of what these days represent within us, as well as what they look like and how they invite us to connect into the land and the earth. There's like kind of ancient traditions and customs and practices in the guides, as well as rituals and practices that you can explore and kind of integrate in your own life today. There's lots within the guides. They're really beautiful and really delicious. So those are available this month of August inside the membership, which you can access and download straight away if you feel called. Something that I really just want to kind of like touch on in general, but especially kind of moving through this month of August, is like there is so much kind of activated right now, and you're probably hearing people talk about all sorts of things. We've got Venus retrograde, we've got multiple retrogrades actually happening, Lionsgate, there's so many things, right? So many activations, so many things to be discussed. And you know, I love diving into all the juice and the details, but I think you also know I love to keep things simple. And I just want to say, like, regardless of everything else that's going on, you know, including the retrogrades, by the end of August, we'll have Mercury, Venus, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and Chiron all in retrograde. And more to come the following month as well. So there's some really strong energy just in that alone. We have, you know, Lionsgate, which is a whole thing. God, I won't even go into that, but look up Lionsgate if you're interested to learn more about that. But that's, you know, the activation of Sirius, our spiritual sun, the dog star, the blue sun, referred to in all different sorts of names, but it's the activation of Sirius in a certain way. All of these things are kind of moving within our sphere throughout, you know, as we enter into August and throughout these coming weeks. But it's all rooted in the same thing. It's all inviting you into the same thing because it's all feeding into one energy. And so that's why I like to invite you to keep it simple. And to do that, you know, I invite you to follow Leo's lead. As I said, we enter August in Leo season and we'll be here until, you know, 22nd, 23rd. When the sun shifts into Virgo. So we've got a few weeks still of Leo season, right? And, you know, something to really kind of breathe into and remain aware of is the fact that the sign that the sun is activating, in other words, wherever the sun sits, that energy is being radiated down into our lives. So that energy of whatever sign the sun is sitting in, that is activating like how and where all of this energy is like playing out and playing through for our lives. So the question that I'm asking is, what is it telling you? What is it showing you? What is Leo igniting and highlighting within all of this, right? Leo wants you to step up and out, right, into yourself, to reveal yourself, to let you be the offering, right? You can take your time to feel into that, you know, like take your time to get clear on what that means for you. And really that's what these retrogrades are all offering, right? That's what they're for: reflection, reassessment, realignment. All of these different planets in retrograde are bringing their own kind of invitation for you to feel into. But ultimately, if you're feeling lost, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you don't know where to focus your energy, I invite you to focus on what Leo is asking of you, which is get true. Stop hiding. Stop wearing masks. Stop rounding your edges. It does not serve anyone. And there's Leo energy being kind of activated. Elsewhere, we have Venus retrograde in Leo, which you've probably, I don't know, you've likely heard people talking about. I'm not going to go into a whole Venus retrograde breakdown here. But, you know, what I will say is, you know, we have Venus in retrograde in Leo. Venus is also going to be going into her underworld phase for 2 weeks within August. I think I should have had this pulled up. I think it's like the 6th. The 19th ish or something, that could be wrong. But there'll be, you know, 2 weeks essentially where Leo shifts into her underworld phase, which basically means that, you know, Venus in her orbit around the sun will cross paths. Essentially, she'll come between the Earth and the sun, so we won't see her. So that's why if you look out kind of early in the month, if you look out at the sky at sunset, or if you look out where the sun is setting, essentially, in the evening, you will likely see Venus kind of hovering towards the horizon, towards the skyline. She's getting closer and closer to her crossing over, crossing into the underworld. It's basically like Venus's version of a new moon, right? Where we can't see the moon because she's there in line with the sun. She's not reflecting the light back and we can't see her. So energetically, what this energy of Venus in her underworld phase means is it's this opportunity to really go within and to set intentions around what it is you want to cultivate in your relationships. And when I say relationships, I mean that on multiple levels. It's your relationships with other people. It's your relationships to earth, to resources. That's why, you know, Venus rules money and finances as well, because it's how we relate to, it's how we give and receive, which is essentially what, you know, makes up a relationship, right? resources. And it's also our relationship to ourself, which is where it all starts. How we feel and how we relate to our own self directly impacts and determines and informs our relationship to everything else that we might engage with in our lives. Because again, that determines how worthy we feel of both giving and receiving certain things. So this is a time to really go within and to set some really conscious intentions to really tune in to what relationships you seek and what relationships you want to cultivate and deepen in your own life, in your own world. And really, like the flavor that Leo really is bringing to this, something to keep in mind within these relationships is your relationship with validation and whether you're seeking internal validation or external validation. Leo energy, like Leo wants to be loved. It's all it wants. It wants to be loved, to be seen and loved for exactly who it is, loved for its whole self, right? To be loved in its wholeness without, you know, having to shave its edges, without any facades, without wearing any masks, you know, to hide certain elements. Leo desires nothing more than to be loved and cherished and celebrated for its whole entire self. To be itself and to be loved for it, right? How many different ways can I put it? So there's themes here around, you know, where we've hidden or held back for fear of being rejected or to have love withdrawn, right, away from us, whether at the hand of another person, whether someone else has withdrawn their love, or at the hand of ourselves, right? But usually we learn this fear from other people, particularly within our childhood, is when we learn what deems us as acceptable and lovable, and then we'll try to replicate that over and over again in our adult life, right? It's quite sad sometimes. But these are patterns, right? They're patterns around this from the past that might resurface during Venus retrograde, especially in order to be witnessed and closed, to bring a sense of closure, essentially. And, you know, that doesn't mean it has to be entirely a bad thing. It's just that it might be like a loose end or a loop that keeps repeating. And it resurfaces now in a really obvious way for you to really consciously and decidedly close that loop, right? And from there, a new story can be written, a new relationship can be forged or formed, or, you know, a new path, essentially. We're not continually just traversing the old. And just on the note of relationships, like relationships are really at the forefront right now. Venus obviously is doing all sorts of things, obviously. But we also have had, you know, the nodes shift as well in this time that I've been gone. And so now we have the north and south node shifted into Aries and Libra. And this south node in Libra is really kind of activating all relationships, all layers and meanings around relationships. So we'll be seeing a lot of our work, quote unquote, playing out in the sphere of our relationships right now and for the next like 18 months while the nodes are sitting in Libra and Aries. So, and that's because we're kind of navigating the axis of Libra and Aries over this next 18 months. And this axis is really kind of, it's the opportunity for us to practice honoring both the self and the other. So really learning how to honor the self while being in relation to the other, because, you know, we're here in the world. We are relational beings. We are engaging with our environment and with the earth and, you know, with the beings that we're co-inhabiting with, like the plants and the elements and the animals and other people, right? We're not living this life or existence in isolation. We live an existence because we are in relation to the other. And Aries and Libra are kind of the invitation to understand how to be the self while being in relation to the other. All of this is activated at the moment. Oof, big time. So I just wanted to kind of like pop that in there too, because I haven't really had a chance without, you know, with a lack of podcast episodes to really kind of go into the shift in the nodes. That it will definitely do so, you know, sometime in the future. But here and now, I just want to really put a pin in the fact that relationships are likely from here on out where you're going to notice and access a lot of the work. A lot of your inner work is probably likely going to be activated by the people around you and by how you are relating to the people around you, right? Yes. So much to say, and I'll keep it short there. Essentially, coming back to kind of what I was saying at the start, like August is a month of clearing and release and like this simultaneous activation. Go with it. Just go with it. It's big energy. It is a big shift from Cancer season for sure. We're navigating a lot of energy, right? It's energy that's inciting and evoking change within us. It's all moving. It's wanting to clear and activate, clear and come alive, clear and come forth, all in the one process. It's a big energy to move with and hold. And by the end of the month, you know, we'll be shifting into Virgo season, beautiful earthy Virgo, where we have the opportunity to ground all of this, I want to say clarity, right, that's coming forth, to ground it all into tangible form, right? It's our opportunity to actually integrate it all into our new, or our, you know, our current reality, so that we see the shift. We see it in our real tangible lives. Virgo helps us refine and organize. She's also deeply responsible for bringing the sacred into the material world. Virgo helps us kind of channel our source, our higher spiritual purpose. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but Virgo and Pisces sit on the same axis. And where Pisces is the all and everything, the boundless, Virgo offers the boundaries that allow our connection to source, our connection to spirit, to flow and to channel into this real material world, right? Into tangible form. Essentially, Virgo helps us to create the bridge, to bring that soul self, to bring that part of us that is connected to source, that is source, to bring that into our physical, tangible world, or to let that kind of essence and medicine of it ripple forth into the world. And that's actually why our class this month inside Cosmic Weavings is devotion. It's all about devotion. It'll be kind of, this class will be kind of like part activation, part let's get real. Let's make a plan and commit to it. We'll be really kind of anchoring in, kind of like just, it feels like kind of hitting a reset button or, you know, starting afresh. So if you're feeling that, if you know that already you're feeling a lot of energy and a lot of shift and change coming up, and the idea of having a really delicious space to just ground and land into that and clarify how you're going to integrate that, integrate this into reality, essentially, and see your external reality reflect what's really moving and shifting and shaking for you now, come to class. Come join us inside the membership. Join us in Cosmic Weavings. Come along live. And just a little side note, the classes are run live and they're really, really fun and delicious when we're all together and we're kind of able to chat and you know, ask questions and feed off one another. And there's always a replay. You can always access the replay inside the video library. And that's where you'll find all the classes from previous months as well inside the membership. But yeah, I feel like that there's obviously so much more we could dive into, even around these full moons and the Leo new moon. I break these energies down a lot deeper inside Cosmic Weavings. We dive a lot more into the kind of themes that Aquarius brings up and that Pisces bring up for the full moons, and things like that, as well as, kind of dedicated rituals for each one and kind of exploratory journal prompts and things like that as well. So lots in there to feel into, but I hope that this has kind of given you something to like really breathe into and feel into for the month ahead. I invite you to just really land in this, to see the story that these energies are inviting you to, I don't even want to say connect with, but just to live, to embody, to allow to play out and engage with them, right? We start with this big, expansive kind of release of the mind that Aquarius invites us into, which in turn allows us to step more deeply into our heart and our fire under the Leo new moon. And then this energy is answered by this beautiful kind of dissolving of any extra attachment, any extra fear or mistrust or doubt that you hold. We also have the shift from like really engaging with Leo's energy and finding our fire, connecting to our joy, re-emerging as our truth. And our truth is not fear or darkness or anything heavy. Our truth, our ultimate truth, is always connected to love. It's always connected to life and life force and passion and creation, whatever it may be, whatever your truth may be. It's always connected to that inner fire, the flame in your heart. And once we've really connected to that and we've found that and we've re-emerged holding that flame, we shift into Virgo season and Virgo's invitation to bring it into tangible form, to take it seriously, to commit to it, to show up to it. And for it daily. It's beautiful, delicious energy, and it invites us into this deep, deep embodiment. And I want to say, like, remembering and ownership within ourselves. So there you have it. There is our month of August. It's been so lovely being back in your ears, being back here in the podcast. If you have missed the podcast, if you did a little happy dance when you saw this episode drop, let me know. It'd be amazing. Send me a message on Instagram, shoot me an email, whatever works, whatever feels easiest and best for you. But I'd love to hear from you. It's one of the things I miss most about this podcast is hearing how they land and what they really kind of, shifted for you, or what really kind of resonated and sparked for you as you were listening in your own world, in your own life. It's so beautiful witnessing how these energies play out. Kind of, it's the same for us all, and yet all so unique and so different. And it's just so beautiful. So I'd love to hear from you. If you want to dive deeper into all of these beautiful energies, make sure you jump inside Cosmic Weavings, inside the membership. It's so full this month because we've got literally two full moons and a new moon to break down inside the guide. There's a beautiful heart activation, guided practice for you to use throughout Leo season. There's a whole back catalogue of audio practices and meditation libraries. There's the class replay libraries. There's so much in there. And if you want to make sure that you get first word when the Wild Woman Trove is open and ready to dive in, make sure you're on the email list because I'll be sending that out the moment we go live and we launch. So I'll pop the details below so you can jump on that. I hope this episode has been helpful. I hope that it's marked a little moment of joy for you to drop in, to connect in, breathe in to all that is circulating within you and around you right now. Have a beautiful full moon, new moon, full moon again, and I'll talk to you very soon, my love. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Weaving the Wild podcast. I'm walking my path here on Dja Dja Wurrung country, and I acknowledge the Dja Dja Wurrung elders past and present.